And we're back. We're back, babies and boys. Babies and boys, we're here. This is Dakota Wint, and this is a Place for Humans podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Wint. This is the Place for Humans podcast. That is a pan drum. And I just got back from Peru. Spent a month in Peru at a spiritual center called Arcana. They give all kinds of plant medicines there, like ayahuasca, or San Pedro, which is a mescaline, or Huachuma, as the indigenous name it's known by. Man. That was a crazy month. It's a crazy month. I'm just getting home. I just got home yesterday. So before we jump into the podcast, there's a couple important things I would like to share with you guys. And one of those is some retreats. I have retreats coming up. I'm really excited to go down this new venture and adventure of doing and hosting retreats. I'm doing a retreat with Arcana. This is the spiritual ayahuasca center I was just at. We're doing a private retreat for mine and your mate, Tom, my friend on YouTube here that makes psychedelic videos, and we traveled India together. You guys know Tom. Me and Tom are doing a private retreat for our subscribers at Arcana in Mexico in the Yucatan, about 35, 40 minutes away from Chichen Itza. So we're going to be going to all kinds of crazy excursions. It's a luxury resort. It's $280 a day, I believe. And you get like 3 ayahuasca ceremonies, 1 peyote ceremony. You get, there's the option to do the Sonoran Desert Toad, which is 5 MEO DMT. And like I said, we're going to do excursions or be a big group of us. Half the tickets are already sold out. So that'll be cool. I'll have the link down in the description below, or it's arcanaspiritualcenter.com for more information. And, yeah, I'll be there with you. Me and Tom will be there going through the crazy adventure of drinking ayahuasca. And, yeah, it's insane. And it's not really for people that just want to trip out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being curious about these dimensions and these experiences. But I feel like ayahuasca is really for people that need something, you know, like some kind of healing, spiritual healing, traumatic healing. We all need some spiritual healing. And what else? Yeah, India. There's some India retreats coming up. This October, I have an India retreat. There's 7 spots left. We're going on a leopard safari. We're going to an elephant sanctuary, monkey temples, ancient forts. And it's going to be a crazy, again, spiritually enlightening trip. It's going to be life-changing, actually. I've hand-picked these spots. So if you like my India videos, a lot of the places I've been in my videos, we are going to go there. And, yeah, it's going to be really crazy for people. I already got a big bus rented, big old hippie bus. So we're going to be traveling around India together, and that'll be amazing. And if you can't make it to the one in October, I have 2 India retreats in June and July of 2021. We'll go up into Malana, that weed village, and hang out in the mountains, do some hiking. And, yeah, it'll be a really fun adventure. So if you're interested in any of those, aplaceforhumans.com is where you can get more information. Yeah, I'll talk more about that at a different time. So I got a lot to unpack from this month of being in Peru. So I started off, I got an email from Arcana. Arcana is the place I went to do my ayahuasca ceremonies. And, oh man, I was so nervous. Like, I always told myself I would never drink ayahuasca unless I was in Peru, unless I was in its home, Colombia, somewhere where there's the tribal tradition of working with this medicine. Because there's some places here in America that you can take it. You can take it in Kentucky from some white guy who runs a Native American church. I think his name is Steve Grubb or something like that. And he also runs a How to Be a Shaman University. You can give this guy, this Kentucky guy, money, and he will turn you into a shaman in exchange for your money. So, like, those kind of things have led me from being like, I'm not going to take it here in the States because I don't want that kind of, you know, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no even words. I'd rather just save up the money and go to a proper retreat with the proper traditions, real shamans, real ayahuasqueros, and then Arcana fell into my lap, and they invited me and Tom out there to film our experience. I've got a lot of videos to upload. And I remember being like, okay, well, if it's time, then it's time. The universe is placing this opportunity into my lap. I don't feel ready, you know. I knew I would drink ayahuasca one day, but, you know, I you guys hear me talk about my DMT experience all the time, and it's that one tripped me out, and I haven't really felt the calling to go back and work with DMT again. But I trusted the universe that if this opportunity was just, this door was just opening, that I might as well walk through it. So I walked through it. I fly to Peru. I show up in Iquitos, which is like this crazy huge jungle city that's, the only way you can get there is by airplane or boat. So you fly into Iquitos, you take a car ride about another hour and a half, and then you hop on a boat for about 2 hours, and you go down the river into a little village, and this is where Arcana is built. So you're down in the middle of the Amazon jungle. I mean, there's snakes everywhere. There's alligators, pink dolphins. There's crazy bugs, monkeys. It's the real Amazon. And I spent a week in the jungle and then 3 weeks in the Sacred Valley in the mountains to kind of, you know, the jungle's energy is really intense. Everything's alive, so you kind of feel that. I mean, you feel the buzz of it, the buzz of life all around you. And your energies and senses are really heightened, and it's an interesting experience to be reconnected with the forest. You know, we all come from this place. This is the lungs, the breath of earth. This is, we're very connected to this place. And so it was nice for me to kind of fall back out of this sort of Western lifestyle and to tap into some primal stuff. And we did 4 ceremonies in the jungle with ayahuasca held by Maestra Justina, which is like this mind-blowing medicine woman, this kind of witch doctor from deep in the jungle. She comes from the Shibibo tradition, which is, I believe, where Terrence and Dennis McKenna learned their ayahuasca. That's where they first stumbled upon. They stumbled upon the Shibibos, pretty sure. And she's been working with ayahuasca for 40 years. It's, you know, the kind of experience that I really wanted out of ayahuasca. I wanted the traditional experience, and Arcana really, they really have a beautiful facility, for spiritual and healing to awaken. And, I remember telling the staff at Arcana, I was like, you know, you guys invited me here. I don't have any substance abuse issues. I don't have any, like, sort of emotional traumas that I want to work through. So I don't know if I'll be doing every ceremony. They wanted me to do 7 ceremonies in 2 weeks. I was like, fuck, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't need that kind of healing. So that's what I told them day one. And I was nervous. There was a point where my knees were actually shaking. Because I know the power of DMT, and I know the power of these medicines. So, like, I'm very, like... Yeah, very reserved in my excitement to go down that path. You know, I know what waits beyond the beyond. And it feels real when you're in it, you know? It's not like some kind of roller coaster ride that is sort of like a thrill. It is like a roller coaster ride, but the thing is that you're blasted into an astral roller coaster. You know, it shoots you into a different dimension, and that different dimension seems to be pre-existing and pre-standing before you got there. And it really changes your perception on what reality is. If my reality can just be taken under me like a carpet being pulled, then what is reality? And you know, ayahuasca really shows you that we have no idea. DMT shows you that we have no idea. So I do the first ceremony. I did Combo. Combo is this frog venom. They call this frog down from the high canopies in the jungle, and they make like the mating noise, like whatever kind of noise it is. And the frog climbs its way down, and then they capture the frog, and they piss it off by poking it with a stick, and then it releases this venom as a defense mechanism. And us crazy hairless monkeys, we scrape the venom off, we take a stick, burn a hole into our arm, and then rub the venom in there. I'll see if you can see my scar. It's right here. I don't know if you can see it. But anyways, it like makes you swell up like a frog. Like your face looks like a frog. Your lips get all big and your eyes get all puffy. And you look like a frog. And they say that's the spirit of the frog entering you to cleanse you out. And it's a really powerful detox. I think it has the most peptides out of any medicine in the world. It's a really powerful immunity booster. People claim they don't get sick for months and months after doing Combo. They use it in the jungle for all kinds of things. I think arthritis, cancer, maybe like influenza, these type of things. And I actually loved it. You have to drink like 2 liters of water. And that was actually harder than the actual venom itself, was to try to chug down all this water. And then you got to drink some potato juice, which lines your stomach because you puke. I'm sure you guys seen like Hamilton, Pharmacopoeia, Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia. I'm sure you guys seen Hamilton do it, or maybe like Aubrey Marcus. But yeah, I did the first ceremony. I took a really small dose just because I was so scared and I wanted to work my way up. I didn't want to just jump in off the deep end and fuck myself right away, you know? Let me see if I got any notes. Yeah, the first trip I just took it easy. And I was jotting down my experience as it was happening. So I'll read you guys. I'll read you what was happening. First ceremony, right here, I drank only 1/4 of a cup. And usually, you know, when you drink ayahuasca, it comes in like maybe a big shot glass, and you can just chug it back all in one go, and it tastes like absolute dirt. So I'll read my notes. First ceremony, it came on in about 45 minutes after purging around the 30-minute mark. Oh yeah, so those of you that aren't familiar with the purge or the experience of ayahuasca, let me just back it up. What ayahuasca is a sort of visionary medicine. That's what the hippies kind of call it. It's a visionary medicine. It gives you these visions in which maybe you relive traumatic experiences and it helps you understand them from a new perspective. Or perhaps you see sort of shamanic visions which inspire you to reevaluate your place in the universe. Sort of like, you know, the Native Americans going on these vision quests or soul journeys. We hear these stories about them coming in contact with spirit guides and spirit animals, and ayahuasca is very much like that, and it's very much real as far as the experience goes. You can have this experience regardless if you're some dickhead off the street, or if you're a Catholic priest, or an American mom, or a Saudi Arabian father, you will have an experience in which produces a very interesting visual effect that will have you scratching your head in sort of a mysterious confusion. So it says, no visuals with mild self-realization. When displaying my insecurity about why I've taken the plants, I'm not sure what I need to be healed. I remember, like, Because you're supposed to take it with an intention. And I remember being like, fuck, I don't really feel like I have some crazy intention that I need healed. And I was scared the plant was going to kind of punish me for it, for coming there. You know, unearned wisdom is a hell of a thing. And I remember sort of sharing this concern with the medicine, with the plant, because the plant appears to have a sort of conscious spirit lingering in its depths. Once you kind of break through, there's a consciousness there waiting for you, whether it's your subconscious, whether it's the consciousness of Earth, or the collective consciousness of all species or humanity. It's hard to say what it is, but this thing takes the form of a presence in which you can communicate with. And to me, my personal belief is that it's real and that you are communicating with an intelligence that I don't know if maybe this plant is sort of... To me, it's like a technology for spirit invocation. And that there are spirits lingering here in our world with us, but we are too distracted by our senses, too engaged with the external world, too focused on light, like moths, you know? We're just like, ah! And we're like that with our desires. We're like that with our senses. We really see the world through a very narrow corridor, like a sniper, you know? We're only seeing a tiny bit of focus, and we think that's all there is. But through meditation, through yoga, through the shamanic experience, our horizons can expand and we can see that there is other things here. You know, we have tools to produce these other things. You know, there's light bouncing around here that we don't have the capacity to see. There's sounds that we can't hear that our dogs can hear, for example. So there are things in this world that we are incapable of picking up in our normal state of consciousness. And it appears that during altered states of awareness, we are more sensitive to some of these things. Colors enhance, and the visionary aspect is just as real as this, you know, it's just as real as the visionary aspect of our normal everyday life, where you're meeting people and walking through the universe. You know, there's another universe on top of this one that exists in a frequency range in which we don't normally see. So I was telling the plants, like, I don't know what my intention is. I don't really know why I'm here. Am I just here to make a YouTube video? And that was something I was really scared about, because, like, am I just here to make a YouTube video? You know, that's not what I want. That's not what I want out of my ayahuasca experience. And the voice on the other side of the plant was just, like, kind of, giving me a smirk, almost, in a way. That's the kind of expression I felt, the kind of energy I felt. It was just like... And it told me very simply, how can you be a better friend to yourself? It's like, you don't think you need healing? Come on. And it just kind of like gave me a little nudge. It was like, here's something simple. How can you be a better friend to yourself? And it blew my mind. It sounds so kind of silly to say out loud, but like when you're tripping in the middle of the jungle and you're freaking out about your intention of why you're there. And yeah, it's so simple. How can I be a better friend to myself? And I remember being like, huh. Yeah, like, fuck. Fuck, I really needed to hear that. How can I be a better friend to myself? I was able to see, like, all the ways that my body and my soul was disconnected. It's not aligned. And, I was able to, like, just kind of love my body in a lot of ways. To me, it seems like we have multiple beings living inside of us. And I've had this experience once when I was in Oaxaca, in Huautla de Jimenez, in the Sierra Mazateca in Mexico. I was working with some shamans there. The Maria Sabina's community, if you're familiar with Maria Sabina, they work with mushrooms as their medicine. And I had this intense experience where this mushroom trip was explaining to me that we are multiple beings. We are like a tree that is just filled with life. You know, like a tree has you know, an ant colony climbing up the side of it. It's got bird nests living there. It's got squirrels living there. It might have some kind of iguana or serpent or, you know, something. We are a tree full of life, and we have all these different beings living inside of us, and we give them names like happiness, sadness, anger, lust, and, you know, because you can be one person one second and then be a complete horn dog the next second, and the person you were a minute ago would be horrified by the perviness that is unleashing out of your depths. So we are many people, and I was able to see on mushrooms and on ayahuasca how sometimes these beings that exist within us aren't aligned, and how that out of alignment can have us too engaged in one aspect or drowning in one aspect of ourselves. And it's usually the hardest aspect of ourselves, you know, like anger is a hard thing to get over. Sadness is a hard thing to get over. And we really cling to these things as being the baseline of who we are. But we're really a spectrum, you know, and we shouldn't attach ourselves to one idea and run with it, because it's not true. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. This is why meditation is so important, because we can learn to loosen the kind of noose that anchors us to these lower aspects of ourselves. So how can you be a better friend to yourself? That's a beautiful realization I had from ayahuasca. How can I be a better friend to myself? I can think of tons of ways, you know, just loving my hands and my feet, like just loving my body. The same heart I have in my chest is the same heart I had when I was a little kid, when I was inside my mom's womb. Like, this is the same body that's been carrying me through life, and sometimes I don't appreciate that. I don't even acknowledge it. But how can you be a better friend to yourself? You know, be the person that you know, the little you needed. That's how you can be a better friend to yourself, or that's how I can be a better friend to myself. It's like, I know what that little kid needs. You know, I know the love that I lacked, and I know all these things. And you can kind of do this mental exercise where you go back and you put your arm around yourself, you know, and be a guide. And that's how I can be a better friend to myself, is by being my own guide and loving my body and loving my soul and loving all the aspects of myself that come up. And I don't have to lose myself in them. I can just love them as they appear, you know? Oh, I'm feeling angry today. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's valid to feel angry, you know? Maybe someone hurt you, or maybe you're being irrational. But either way, you know, it's valid to be irrational sometimes. Get it out and love yourself through it, you know? Don't get too far to where you're going crazy. But when you recognize this about yourself, you kind of, there's a part of you that kind of swells up and like, ah, finally, like you finally noticed me. Because we don't even notice ourselves. We just walk through life and look at it as some mundane, boring experience, but it's magical and it's mystery. Like, life is made of magic. Call it atoms, 99.9% empty space spinning around each other that somehow manifests the universe and manifests consciousness and intelligence and you and love and relationships and family and all these things. You can boil it down to some materialist perspective of being like, that's atoms and that's the quark and neutron and electron spinning around each other, and somehow the biochemical process manifests this experience in which you feel like it's just love, but it's really just a flood of chemicals. Like, yeah, you can say that. That's one way to look at it. But again, that's just a thought. There's no different. It's no different to say that you are a tree full of spirits, 99.9% empty space, and they're all spinning around to create you, and they love you, and they want the best for you because they are you. And yeah, it's magic no matter how you paint it to me. It makes no difference. You know, it's just words. The words we use build the archetypes and the maps of our reality. So call it this, call it that. You're just calling it something. You're not really, you're confusing the world with how you describe it. call it whatever you want. And it's, you know, I choose to call it magic. The world is made of magic. We are made of magic. So, how can you be a better friend to yourself? It was really nice to just hug myself and love myself for once. And then I wrote, it's as if she was gently shuffling through a file cabinet of my life, through fast thoughts, showing me all sorts of things about myself. I actually don't remember this. A lot of this I'm not going to remember. This is, I was writing this as I was coming down. And people refer to ayahuasca as being a she, being a sort of feminine presence. And there was times where I felt masculine presence and I felt feminine presence, but it does seem like the overall quality of the experience is very motherly and, like sort of being cradled by a cosmic serpent mom, like Kali Ma from the Hindu mythology, like this fierce love and serpents, you know. Like, I actually had a vision of ayahuasca. She came to me looking like Kali as this lady with big old titties. I know, I'm sorry. I'm on like a month of NoFap right now, so this is how she appeared to me. She came to me with a big old boobs, a big snake woman with boobs. And she loved me in a very motherly way. It wasn't very sexual at all. It was just very primal. And I remember being like, just embracing the love. It wasn't no lust at all. It was just big primal tits and snake. She was like Medusa. Like, she had these tentacles and they were like slapping tentacles at me. Yeah, it's wild. So it was as if she was gently shuffling. The thing is that a lot of people have these experiences of the same experiences. People see the same things. So despite your cultural background, which you would think would produce certain visual imagery based on where you're raised at, based on your sort of cultural conditioning, you would expect certain people to have certain types of experiences. But the thing is, you can pluck people from all around the world, throw them into the jungle, give them ayahuasca, and there will be common themes, common archetypes that arise and emerge. And maybe this is some primal, deep human thing that transcends our cultures and our societal things. But that's one thing I find extremely fascinating, is that the reoccurrence of certain visionary things that appear to people. Plants and humans have been friends for a long time, and we've disconnected. That's one of the things I wrote. That plants and humans have been friends for a long time. And I do remember this. I remember showing how people had a relationship with the plants in their area. When we were living in the forest, we knew the plants. Okay, you don't go over there, you don't touch that one. And this one loves if you do this, and this one loves if you do that. We had a relationship with the plants. We were friends with them. We understood our place among them. And in this new kind of artificial reality that we have built, cities and all this stuff, we don't know shit anymore. We've completely severed our connection with nature. And nature, it's intelligent. It communicates. It knows. It knows. It's aware of us in the same way that we are aware of plants when we walk by them. I really do believe that there are plants that are aware of us. I mean, they've been here for a long time. They are the ancient ones of this planet. And to assume that our intellect, because we are so expressive, is the only intellect there is a bit interesting. It's a bit interesting arrogance of the human species, because plants, the thing, like, if you think about human beings, we require so much energy to exist. Like, just think about the shit we have to... I mean, look at all what we do. Like, I look at my room, I have so much stuff. I don't need any of this stuff. I require so much energy just to make it through the day. I'm using a laptop, I'm using a cell phone, I'm using a camera. All the energy that was required to make all those things. I have to eat all this food. Like, we are really dense low vibrational beings in comparison to a plant that requires nothing. It's like a yogi just sitting there in the sunlight. All it needs is the basics of its environment. It needs water, sunlight, and a spot to grow. It requires almost no energy to exist. The only energy it requires is the flow of energy that's already happening. So I bow to the sacredness of plants, to the intelligence of plants, and I really do recognize it from the bottom of my heart that it's real. And, I don't know. Okay, let's continue with our notes. I began sobering up. Everyone annoyed me. My senses were so sensitive, especially with sound. I could hear everything, and it drove me crazy. Every little tap, every little sniffle someone made, and I was so pissed. And I realized that it was a part of the purge. Like, ayahuasca will make you puke. Some people it makes poop. What else? Some people it makes cry. You know, there's tons of expressions that the purge takes. And for me, the purge took form in being annoyed. I had to get all these emotions out. Jose, my friend that owns the retreat, he explained it like being like a jar of jelly or jam, and it gets stuck to the side. Ayahuasca comes in and kind of shakes it all up, so you're able to get it. You know, it's not stuck in the inside of us no more. It comes to the surface. It's allowing you to scoop it out in whatever expression it needs to take to come out. And for me, it was being annoyed with everyone around me. Even the shaman singing, man, it sounded like chaos everywhere. People were puking and people were crying and people were tapping along to like the Icaros. The shamans sing these Icaros, which are like sacred songs that the plant teaches them. It's a bit like a mantra. It guides you through your experience. And for me, it really pissed me off, and I had a headache all night long. So that was my first ceremony after I sobered up. I bought these pants from the shamans. I'll show you guys. This is traditional Shibibo patterns. I believe this is the ayahuasca leaf, chacruna, which is a DMT leaf. Here you can see it again. And this is the Icaros here. You see these things, these little patterns? These are like sheet music that comes to them during their trips. So while the shamans are tripping, they are they're seeing sheet music in which they translate into these Icaros, into these sacred songs. I'll show you. Here's a tapestry I bought, made by Maestra Justina, I believe, or someone from her community. Right there in the middle is the ayahuasca coming out. You got the ayahuasca serpents right here, which is a crazy thing that people see. And you know me, I have serpents in all my psychedelic trips, so who the fuck knows what that means. Here's the chacruna leaves. These are the Icaros. And, really beautiful artwork they have. So it was really great to support them. You know, it's really sad that we destroy the Amazon, we cut down their homes. And, we leave them with nothing. And then so many people demand that they just give us the medicine for free. Like, I get a lot of comments on YouTube of people being like, oh, those aren't real shamans because they charge money. And it's just like, man, the arrogance that our culture has. You know, we are destroying the Amazon for our taste buds. You know, we cut down chunks of trees just to make farms for cattle in order to sustain the Western diet, just our diet alone. It's not even them, it's us. We are cutting their land down for us. And, I think that it's great to support them financially. And I think it's great that they charge us money, for healing. If you really needed it, I'm sure you could go and walk around and good luck trying to find someone that you can trust. But, I mean, I'm sure if you were sincere enough, you could drink ayahuasca for free in a traditional setting. But the thing is like, going to these retreats, it's beautiful to give them an opportunity to make money. It's the only thing that's going to keep these traditions alive. It's the only way that's going to allow them to secure their place, because money runs the world, you know, as shitty as it sounds, but it's an exchange of energy beyond the symbolic nature of it. It's an exchange of energy, and these people are giving you your energy, giving you a safe place to have your experience, and they shouldn't give it to us for free. You know, you don't expect a doctor to do their work for free. It doesn't make a doctor any less legit because he charges money for his practice. This is an intense spiritual surgery that you go through. And it's real. It's real, deep, deep work. And it's priceless. No amount of money in the world. Like, this is an investment into the self. And I'm not trying to sell ayahuasca to anybody. Yeah, it's just a couple comments came up like that, and it really makes me cringe to my core that these spoiled Americans from their $1,500 iPhones are talking about how the medicine should be free and the shamans aren't real because they charge money or whatever. And nah, you know, if you're sincere, it's, you know, I think you understand. But that's okay, whatever. So second ceremony. This was a lot stronger than ceremony one, and I've sat in 4 weeks of ceremony, and this seems to be a reoccurring thing. The second ceremony is always the most intense ceremony. I began the ceremony with opening my arms towards the sky and welcoming ayahuasca into my body to do the healing. Yeah, this is something I would do. This was my intention after the first ceremony, was to welcome the spirit into me, like as an invocation sort of technique and tactic, I would invoke the spirit of ayahuasca. And this would bring me to a position where I was able to speak with her again, speak with the spirit of the plant. I felt the energy begin to start moving through me, and my vision began to expand. I can tell when the plant is starting to come in. You can feel it. It's your senses go from this to going like, and all of a sudden the room is a mile long, and your hearing is a mile long, and it's just like, I can't even explain it. It's just everything expands, and then you know you're entering that space, the spirit world. That's what I think. It's the spirit world. It's where we go. It's where we go, it's where our ancestors are. Oh, it gives me goosebumps, man. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Fuck. The power that these people have with the plants, man. It's like, you know, when you think of witches? Like, what's the traditional image of a witch that we grew up with? Cauldrons being brewed, plants and vines being thrown in there, toads and frogs. Like, who knew? It was in front of our face this whole time. It's been in front of our face this whole time. We just thought it was cartoons. But, nah, man, this stuff is real. The room gets noticeably vast, and the first round of purge starts orchestrating around the room. People start puking. Blah, blah, blah. And it's actually so comforting. There was one of the biggest things I was worried about was being in a room full of strangers and tripping with them. But it's so beautiful, and it's such a bonding experience that I actually would prefer to do it with a group than do it by myself. And I didn't think I would like that. I began to feel nauseated, and I start puking. As I puke, I have visions of neon snakes coming out of me. I began the ceremony with a headache, and I asked ayahuasca to heal it. Oh yeah, fuck, this was crazy, actually. I remember I had such a headache. I get these headaches between my eye and my ear, like the tube that connects my eye and my ear. And I was having an issue that day, and I was just like, oh man, I wish ayahuasca would just like heal me of this. And as I started puking, before I started puking, I had this vision of a swarm of bugs in my neck, like a swarm of beetles, like bzzz, like a huge thick swarm of beetles, like all like swarming around a light that was stuck here in my neck. And as I began purging with the snakes, all the bugs started flying out of my mouth, like a black swarm of bugs were flying into the puke bucket. And as soon as I got all the bugs out, my headache went away. So that was a really, really cool to experience that. I remember being like, fuck, Jesus Christ. Earlier in the day, the curandera, the healer, Justina, she did a reading on me. So, I don't even know how to talk about this one. I'm skeptical a little bit. I'm very skeptical about all these kind of things. But Justina, Maestro Justina, dieted a plant called, I'm having problems remember what the plant was called. But basically, and I do believe this after experiencing ayahuasca, that if you diet a plant, meaning that you do like these month-long dietas with the plants, she did 20 months of this plant in isolation. It's sort of like a yogi type of thing where you go out in isolation, you have a teacher. The teacher is lets you eat one time a day. You eat like a fish, a plantain, and drink water once a day. And the other time than that, you're just dieting this plant. And these plants hold different powers. It's very obvious when you take ayahuasca, very obvious when you take mushrooms, peyote, wachuma, any of these, marijuana. It's very obvious that these plants hold wisdom and they hold power and they're trying to communicate it with us. Because our healing is their healing. You know, this is one planet. That's why it's called the universe. Universe. This is one song. This is one song. Universe. The poem of the one. We're all here. We're all contributing our own verse to the one. So you diet these plants, and the plant, once it begins to trust you, will start downloading its power into you. And this is how witchcraft works. This is how brujos and brujas get supernatural powers, is through doing these crazy meditations, basically, with the plants. And Justina did one for 20 months and is able to do this kind of psychic energy healing. And earlier in the day, she was checking my body, had my shirt off, she was like rubbing me, checking my back, and then she makes her way up to my neck and then finds it right here. She finds what she calls a chonta, which is a negative energy blockages. Sometimes they're sent by mean people that are angry at you. Sometimes they're sent by animals, trees. There's lots of ways to get a chonta, but it manifests in you as like pain, basically. It's like a curse. I guess a lot of us have them. You know, maybe someone says something bad to you, and you keep that, and you hold that, and you push it down, and you're like, oh, fuck that person, and then it grows into some kind of trauma in your body, you know. This is how I interpret it. And she found one here in my neck, which is the part where my ear and my eye, the inner tube part, and it's something I've dealt with for years and years and years and years. And it was interesting that she found that spot without me telling her. And then, yeah, then I puked out all the bugs later that night. So the visions began to intensify, and this is where I wrote about the bugs. The visions began to intensify, and a swarm of bugs appeared to be trapped inside my neck, where the headache is being caused. I puke them into a bucket, and I feel relieved. Oh, fuck. So Jose, the owner of Arcana, the previous ceremony, there was frogs falling from the ceiling. Like, maybe there were some frogs that were, like, just climbing up in the rafters of the maloka, the ceremony room, and they would fall onto people. People were getting hit with frogs. Like, what the fuck? And Maestro Justina, the shaman, said that was brujos, like evil shamans, bad spirits, trying to disrupt the ceremony. So I was like, okay, you guys know me. I love witchcraft. I love the occult. I love anything spooky like that. So I ask ayahuasca, the voice of ayahuasca, I say, what's up with the frogs and the brujos trying to disrupt ceremony? And so I asked ayahuasca about this and why they used frogs. Why were the brujos using frogs? She explained intention to me and how it manifests in strange ways in this dimension. She explained how certain things attract to certain energies. Flies like shit and death, bees like flowers and create life. It's not a matter of being good or bad, but your karma and your body are attracted to certain places and certain vibes. So that's what she was explaining to me. So it's like the energy of the brujos is this kind of dense, swampy energy, which attracts frogs to that spot. And I don't know. This is just like what I'm having during a vision. And I'm just tripping balls, you know. Who knows if any of this is real? What is real, you know? Science says everything is in our head. So if everything's in our head, I mean, this is in our head. Then even our head is in our head. So I don't know where that leaves us. I mean, it's still equally as mysterious, even if it's all in my head, to me. So the frogs are attracted to the brujo's low vibrational energy because it is dense and swamp-like. And then all of a sudden, ayahuasca rips me out of my body. I'm ripped out of my body, and I'm in the jungle, like astrally. I'm in the jungle, and she throws me into a swamp. And in the swamp, there are these huge, transparent, fish-like tadpole things. And they're dark energy, and they're black, and like kind of shadow-like. And they're just swimming around me while I'm in this pond. And I'm just sort of observing them. And they didn't even care that I was there. They didn't acknowledge me. Something crazy is that I was looking up ayahuasca art in the same type of brujo tadpoles that I seen, these dark energy tadpoles. I seen them in someone's drawing, and it like fucking blew my mind that that's possible. That, I don't know, man, again, fucking giving me goosebumps. Like literally out of my head, my arm is filled with dots. I don't know if you can see. Ah. It's very interesting and very crazy. So ayahuasca took me to this swamp where I was able to swim with these brujo spirits, with these jungle spirits that are, I guess they get mad when people do ceremony or something. I don't fully understand the message of the vision. I come back to my body. I'm back. I'm back in the Maloka, the ceremony room, and I'm back in my body. I'm looking around. I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened? And within 30 seconds of me being amazed, it's like a giant bug was slingshotted directly to the center of my forehead. And I just get hit with this bug. And it was a real bug. It wasn't fake. Because the guy next to me goes, oh shit, a bug just jumped on me after I like swiped it off me. And I explained to the shamans the next day, and they said that was a warning from the brujos to not fuck with them, basically. So that was ceremony too, very intense for me. Many people seem to experience brujo attacks in last night's ceremony. And another thing that's crazy, too, is that the Maloka, the ceremony room, is very protected. The shamans do, you know, a big protection, you know, like they are casting spells of protection, basically. Blowing tobacco to purify the energy and stuff like that. And you feel safe in there. You do feel safe. Because as soon as you walk out to go piss or something like that, it's like, you see spirits walking in the jungle, like shadow figures walking in the jungle. Some people even hear voices like calling them to the jungle, calling their name, like trying to seduce them to follow the voice into the jungle, which is crazy. That happened to my friend Doug that was there. He had a voice like, come to the jungle, follow me. And he's like, fuck, you know, as soon as you leave the sacred room, it's like anything goes. I asked ayahuasca about Jesus. This is something I do. You know, I talk about Jesus all the time. A reoccurring thing is Jesus popping up to me in my trips. And I'm not Christian. She told me that Jesus is an Ikaro. Jesus is a sacred song. And he is sung slow and long. And it doesn't come out as a melody. but as a symbolic story that can become a magnet and absorb your karma. So I was able to see Jesus as being like not a physical, I did see him as a physical being. I saw him crying and taking on the world's pain. But it's a song, it's a sacred song for us to connect to. And through singing this song, and it's not like a physical act of singing, it's just being in the awareness of the story of Jesus, it absorbs our pain and it takes on our karma. So that was an interesting thing to have revealed to me. You know, maybe Jesus was a real person, and that's just the way my brain is trying to interpret it to help me heal. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. I was really like, wow, that's really deep. Oh yeah, Tom had a bad trip. Well, not a bad trip, but I heard Tom crying from across the room, and I could tell it was Tom, and I really wanted to go just give him a hug and love him and stuff. And he was having a really emotional time, and Tom had a really suicidal trip on ayahuasca once, and he said if he was by himself, he would have killed himself. So, I mean, there are dangers in this stuff. That's why I say it's for people that really need healing, and curiosity is okay, obviously. You know, I kind of came into it through that door of curiosity. And but yeah. And I remember I was asking ayahuasca, why is Tom having such a bad trip? Like, why is Tom going through this? And it told me it's hard work trying to save somebody. And I could see Tom trying to, he's going through these hard experiences and stuff like that, like dragging himself through hell so that he can save himself, which seems to be a contradiction, but it's like sometimes you need to hit rock bottom so that you can see the steps again, so you can see where you need to go. Does that make sense? It's like hitting the bottom of the mountain so that you can finally step back and see, okay, here's the steps I take to get back to the top. I needed this. You know, no matter how hard it is, I needed to fall down so that I could step back up again and save myself. And yeah, ayahuasca speaks in poetry. She shares these things in visual poetry and metaphorical poems. And it's fucking profound. Again, with goosebumps. Anyways, so yeah, I saw Tom was having a hard time, and yeah, he had to go through all that so that he could heal and so he could save himself, I guess. And then I wrote, there's no doubt that this dimension of spirits is real. I was shown there was a spirit living in my house, and I need to leave it offerings. And then that leads to the third ceremony. I drank a half a cup. Visions came on strong, but didn't last too long. She was trying to give me profound information, but I did not take enough for the message to come through. I needed to take more ayahuasca. I was confused by how I was able to see the light of ayahuasca with my eyes closed. Like, you're seeing incredible light. I mean, you're sitting in darkness, your eyes are closed, yet you are experiencing a world that's lit up in the same way that this world is lit up. You know, look at all these colors and stuff like that. Like this, we can see this because there is light that shines on it, and that light interacts with our eyes and produces an image and blah, blah, blah. But how is it possible to see light when there is no light? And that was something that was really tripping me out. And she explained to me, it's because we are made of light, and she is made of light. But it's light beyond what the eye can see. This whole world is also made of that light. And it seems that many people are working out family karma, especially me. We have so much generational bullshit that we just fucking cling on to, and that fucks us up through our whole life, and we don't even realize it, you know? We just take it on as our identity and stumble through life. But yeah, it's just like generational shit. It's shit our ancestors passed down to us. Traumas from our parents that have been passed down. One of my friends there, his mom was molested when she was a kid, and he was able to go inside and feel the sorrow that she feels. Like, he was able to take on her pain. And through that, he was finally able to understand why his mom is the way she is. You know, she opened up to him about being molested, and it was an emotional connection for them too. And he said she's the only one that he's told. He's got brothers, and his mom opened it up only to him. And he experienced that on his ayahuasca trip, and it was able to heal. He was able to heal through his mom's trauma, you know? And I'm sure he went home and gave his mom a big hug, and he could finally understand her on a soul level, you know? It's an incredible medicine. Fourth ceremony. I upped the dose. It didn't come on for 2 hours. No puking purge, but I purged more than any night energetically. I remember I was able to take these huge, deep breaths. That's like a normal deep breath for me, and I was able to do like twice as long, and it was like I was just clearing out my lungs, and it was all coming out. I was stretching. I had so much energy, and I could just be like, ugh! I was making these noises, and all of this energy was just releasing from me. Very deep yawns, and it was a purge. I could tell it was a purge, but it was different than the type of purge where you puke, or, you know, like the traditional kind of purges that people get worried about, shitting yourself, which I didn't shit myself at all, thank God. Oh yeah, fuck. This is the night. Where's my book at? I can show you. I drew a picture of him. A shaman came to me. I had a vision of a shaman. He had a half eagle head. It was a man, and it was coming at me like this, and it took me a good minute to focus, because it was really disorienting. It would come like this. It would go in really quick, for those of you guys that aren't watching on YouTube. It would come in quick, like this, really close to me, and then zoom really far away, and then come really close, and then zoom away. So it took me a minute to really focus on what was happening, and when I could finally, like, okay, this is, I start to see the shape, and it's a man coming out of a pink flower with a half of an eagle head. And it's not saying anything to me. I'm not getting any downloads. It just kind of feels like it's like almost protecting me in a way. That's the kind of energy I get. Let me see if I can find my book and show you a picture of it for those of you watching on YouTube. Okay, so this is a picture I drew of my shaman vision. Can you see it? So, like, here's the flower it was coming out of, and I wrote down right here, Eagle Shaman Ayahuasca Vision, Spirit of Mapacho. Mapacho is tobacco. So I kind of got this vibe that it was the spirit of tobacco, because people are smoking tobacco, and tobacco is like, it helps purify you and cleanse you and protect you. It helps protect you from bad shit. And, that's the picture I drew there. And again, I went looking for ayahuasca art. It seems to be a reoccurring spirit that pops up to people. Justina also has what's called the Chacruni family. She dieted another plant called the Chacruni plant. And these spirits come to her. The Chacruni spirits come to her. They're like these jungle spirits. And they help her with ceremony. She has a father, I think she has like a cousin, a brother, and they're all like spirit in the astral realms. And you hear like Terrence McKenna talk about this kind of stuff, of people having families in the astral world, or even Graham Hancock talks about how some shamans will be married to spirits in the astral world, and they come back to the same spirits. When they drink, they see these same spirits, and they maybe even have kids and stuff in these astral worlds. So that's something I'm very interested in. And, I would love to, like, write a book or to make a documentary on more of the crazy, mystical, occult side of plants. You know, the devil's garden. What lurks, what mysteries lurk in the garden of the soul? So, I wrote here, I saw entities who I was 100% convinced were not from this planet. They had interesting microorganism-looking bodies. It's almost like, I remember I looked at a picture of grass under a microscope, and it looks like it's got these little smiley faces on it. And I saw these aliens that looked like that. And then I realized that they were plants, and I was seeing in their world, seeing and experiencing what the plants felt. All of my ancestors were there. I cried about my grandma. You know, my grandma died a couple months ago. And I was finally able to admit that my dad has let me down. You know, I don't know my dad too well. And this is something I kind of always pushed down. I was like, yeah, you know, I understand him. He's got his own shit going on through life and whatever. Fuck it, you know. There's a lot of people that don't have their dads in their life. And that's been my kind of vibe I just carried with me. Like, yeah, shit happens. But I was finally able to really admit, like, fuck, man. I wish I had a dad, and I'd love to, I just love that, you know, to have some kind of masculine figure in my life to share these experiences with, to, you know, I was raised by my grandma, my mom, my sister, you know, I still have my mom and my sister now, that's all I got. So, yeah, I was finally able to just be like, fuck, you know, it does fuck me up, actually, that I don't have a dad, really. I understood from a soul level that he needs healing and that it's not personal. But I'm still let down that we aren't closer, you know? And that came to me. And then I wrote right here, ayahuasca is a technology for spirit invocation. Yeah. And that was the week in the jungle. I didn't do the Sonoran desert toad, the sapo or bufo frog toad, which is found in Mexico. It comes out for only 3 months during the year, I believe, during the rainy season, and it hides for the other 9 months. And it's got a little pimple on its back. You pop the pimple, and the pimple is filled with 5-MeO-DMT. And I watch people do it. I probably watched maybe 10, 15 people do it, and it seems to be one of the most profound experiences a human being can have. It seems to be way more profound than any one ayahuasca ceremony. The thing about ayahuasca is it's a process. You know, it's an ongoing relationship, an ongoing story in which you slowly heal over time. You know, it takes time. It's not a cure-all pill and that you take one time. But sapo seems to be a sort of blast you into the source. It takes you straight to the heart, you know, straight to the white light. And that one was really healing for people. I didn't do it just because I didn't feel like I needed it. Tom did it, and he had a profound experience. He was crying. Everyone cries. Everyone comes back filled with love and understanding, and it's like Hogwarts, man. Arcana is like Hogwarts. Ayahuasca, the ayahuasca world, the plant world is like Hogwarts. All that shit is real. All the shit we thought is fairy tale, they lied to us. They fucking lied to us. They kept this. They're keeping this from us, man. It's crazy. It's disrespect and anti-human to keep this experience from us. And they're doing it on purpose. They're keeping us from knowing this kind of stuff. I don't know who they are, but how is this possible when none of us know about it? The only ones that know about it are the ones that are left over that we didn't manage to kill. You know, we came and destroyed all these indigenous communities, all the shamans and healers. We killed them as like being witches and stuff, and we lost so much. We lost so much. You know, just because you're in a laboratory doesn't make you not an alchemist. You're a modern witch. You know, if you're in there, you know, with chemicals making crazy drugs that can cure cancer or give you LSD visions or whatever the modern process is, you know, you're a modern alchemist. We don't look at it that way. But witchcraft, all this stuff is real. The occult is real. And there's a modern expression of it, but because we're in the modern era, we don't look at it like that. You know, when we look back and we think of alchemists in dark rooms, you know, with beakers and putting a little bit of this in here, a little bit of that in here, and smoke and all kinds of crazy potions and stuff, it's no different than what's going on today in the pharmaceutical industry. It's just a lot more evil. Like, that's the dark shit. That's the dark shit. They're, like, suppressing the symptoms in order to take money in. It's dark, man. It's really dark. Talk about brujos and brujería. Man, that shit. That's the real brujos there. That's the pharmaceutical industry. And the people that keep this experience away from us. Those are the real brujos. Final thoughts. I was scared and nervous and ended up laughing at my fear during the trip. That was something I realized. That I was just cracking up at the end. I was like, I can't believe I was scared. I ended up all the ceremonies. And I'm actually going back in 2 weeks. I'm going straight back. I'll be at Arcana in Iquitos in the jungle for 3 weeks with my sister. I'm taking my sister to help heal some of her issues. It'll be really curious. I'm really curious from like a scientific perspective to see how that unfolds for her. Because I'm kind of a hippie fucking weirdo, so like for me, I'm like, oh yeah, the spirits. My sister's a normal girl, and it'll be really brilliant to watch this experience unfold for her. And if it heals her, I'm going to be a very, very strong believer in this medicine if it heals her. And then I went to the Sacred Valley, got to visit Machu Picchu, and some Incan runes, like Pisac runes, and that was all very incredible. It was all very beautiful, amazing, actually. The Sacred Valley in Arcana, like, if you guys plan on doing an ayahuasca retreat, I really do recommend going to Arcana. It's not the cheapest place in the world, but, I mean, when you compare it to, like, Rythmia is Costa Rica. Everyone knows about Rythmia. They charge like $5,000 a week. $5,000 a fucking week. And they pay all the YouTubers to promote it, so everyone goes there. And I think it's just a Western guy that owns it. And there's no tradition of ayahuasca in Costa Rica. So Rythmia has invited me twice, I believe, and I've declined both times because it just felt like a business exchange. They told me what to say in my videos, how many videos to make. And, yeah, you know, they've invited me over the years, and I've always said no because there's no tradition there again. I want it to be where the tradition is. I wanted to take it with people that come from a lineage of people that have been taking it for an unbroken lineage for thousands of years, like the Shabipos in the jungle. So it was important for me to wait until it happened for the availability for me to go to Peru unfolded. Arcana reached out to me and they cared about my healing. That was the first thing I really appreciated. Was I was like, okay, I can see these guys aren't just like trying to get me to come out here and promote them. They care about their traditions. They care about the healing, and it's more than half off the price of Rythmia. And yeah, you know, they pay YouTubers to go talk about it and shit, and then people go because they trust YouTubers. And for me, I felt like I would sell myself out if I went there. And I'm sure they're great. I'm not talking shit about Rythmia. I've never been there, so I can't say like. But what I do know is they do ceremonies for like 60 people at once, and they have like a couple shamans. And I don't think you get any private sort of one-on-one time with the shamans. Maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe if you've been to Rythmia, you can let me know. But it's like the luxury resort of ayahuasca, where like the jungle in Iquitos and Arcana is real healing. You know, it's not focused on like getting spa treatments and shit. It's like focused on, you came here to heal, we're going to heal you. I mean, the facilities are still great, still beautiful, and there's even Wi-Fi in the middle of the jungle. So I mean, you're not totally just living primitively. But I really believe in Arcana. I really do believe in Arcana. And I really do believe in Maestra Justina, her knowledge to guide us through the experience. I believe in Jose's mission. Jose owns Arcana. And if you ever want to go there, you can use my coupon code and it gives you some freebies. And they'll also, you know, they'll hook you up because you're a friend of mine. You type in Dakota at your checkout. It's arcanainternational.com. There's two of them. If you want to come to the Mexico retreat, it's arcanaspiritualcenter.com. And there's an option to be there with Tom and I. This is it's a private thing. It's more luxurious. We're going to Mayan runes and excursions. And there is spa services there. It's a bit more Rythmia, except way cheaper than Rythmia. But Yeah, you can go to the Mexico retreat at arcanaspiritualcenter.com and use code TOMDAC, and that saves you 10%. And like I said, me and Tom will be there. So, like, you know, there will be two of you guys sitting right next to me, and we'll be there for the whole week together, going through this journey, this inward journey and outward journey to, like, in Mexico. Like, fucking, yeah, hell yeah. It'd be great. I love Mexico. But, yeah, if you want to go to Arcana in Peru, it's like $1,500, I think, in the jungle for a week. And you get meals, you get excursions, and you get all the kind of same stuff you get in Mexico, except it's a little cheaper. And you use code Dakota. And then they have, like, an isolation tank or a DMT kind of light. They have this light that it shines at your forehead, and it gives you fractal visions. It's very interesting. So you get, like, that. You get freebies if you use my code. And there's probably tons of great ayahuasca centers. This is my first one I've been to. But I found a real one. And I have no need to try any other ones. I really believe in Maestra Justina, and I believe in Jose's mission. And this feels synchronistic to you, or you have ever had a calling to go to ayahuasca, that's my recommendation. You know, there's other good ones. Soltara is Dennis McKenna. It's also in Costa Rica. What else? There's Soul Quest, maybe? You know, I had my friend Prahlad. He went to an amazing retreat somewhere. I forget what it's called. Blue Morpho, maybe? So there are tons of options for you. But me personally, I will be, Arcana's my home, and I will be at Arcana. I'll be there the next, all of March, basically. So if you want to go book real quick and come drink with my sister and I, we'll be there in March. Or come to Mexico, we'll be there in April and May. And if you're interested, again, in India, I'll just say this one more time. There's retreats this October in India. There's 7 spots left. It's 2 weeks. We're going on a crazy adventure. And then if you can't make it to the one in October but still want to go to India with me and an amazing group of people, we're going to the mountains in June. And then we're going to hang out with Shamsundardas Baba, and like a more spiritual retreat will be in the jungle. And that's in July. And they're 2 weeks each. And I've got a stacked itinerary, man. It's going to be so fun. Big, giant bus. We're all going to pack into a bus. And, you know, it'll be fun. Anything else I gotta say? Nah, I think that's it. Yeah, it's nice to get these podcasts out again. Ayahuasca, man. I did it. I knew I'd take ayahuasca one day. And I fucking did it. And I got a lot more journeying to do. And I trust this medicine, man. Hogwarts. Some Harry Potter shit. Oh, I got this painting of Maestra Justina. I'll show you what she looks like. It's not an original painting, but it's, yeah. That's Maestra Justina there. Beautiful, right? Well, this has been another episode of A Place for Humans podcast. I hope you enjoyed my ayahuasca notes. So there's a... this is called Repe. This is Repe. And Repe is a tobacco snuff. They use it to help cleanse you before ceremony. And... this is a repe pipe, so it's administered into the nose. A little bit of the tobacco is put into here, and then the person that's administrating it will go, oh shit, there was something there, and it's blown into your nose. It's very grounding. It might make you purge a little bit sometimes. It's completely legal. It's not psychedelic at all. This is my my self-administrated pipe for it. So, like, you put it like this. And this right here is a little ayahuasca on the pipe. I guess I'll do a little bit to show you guys. I hate it, actually. Some people love repe. Like, Tom loves repe. Jesus. I don't know why I'm doing it. Fuck. Tobacco is a very powerful plant. Very cleansing. Very healing. Open up Ashivaya. Fuck. Oh God. Very grounding. Very good for meditation. Well, shit. Oh, I gotta blow my nose. Ugh. I don't know if you see that. Ugh, gross. It's very grounding. Remember the first time I did repe, it felt like a energy pull just like came through the ground and just like connected me to the earth. It's completely legal. I think I'll bring some home and sell it online so you guys can try it. Very healing medicine. Usually makes me puke. That seems to be rare. Not many people puke, but I puked like half the time. But it's good because it's like cleansing you. It's a detox. And I have a bad diet sometimes, so it's like puking all that shit out. Ugh. Woo! Well, I love you guys very much. And at the very least, the universe has brought you here to hear about this medicine. Do what you will with that. But you have been chosen divinely to hear these words. And the medicine is... it calls those who need it. So... This is a Place for Humans podcast. My name's Dakota. This is a drum made by Rav Vass Drums. You can get 10% off by using Dakota at their website. Shanti, 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 shanti.
Did you know that Lord Shiva listened to high tech?